So very good to see all of you here this morning. I see we do have a few people that are visiting with us, and as always, I hope that you feel so welcome that you'll come back and worship God together with us again and study with us from the Word of God whenever you're able and willing to. Appreciate the songs, Jonathan. They went very well with the sermon this morning. And for the last several weeks, I've been doing lessons on the family. We had a sermon about the husband's responsibilities to the wife and the wife, how she can help her husband. And we need to continue in this series now talking about Christian parenting. I'd like to begin the sermon this morning by going to Psalms 127 and verse 3. It says, "Bold children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Here in Psalms, we learn that our children are blessings. They are treasures given to us by God. And I told you in my sermons between the husband and the wife, the greatest physical treasure God will ever give a husband is his wife. Greatest physical treasure God will ever give a wife is her husband. But in the husband-wife relationship, God often blesses that relationship with children. These are the great treasures of your life, your family, your husband, your wife, and your children. I want you to realize something right off the bat. A child is a blessing, never a burden. Every child is a blessing, never a burden. As we get into the sermon here, I want you to realize that our children need to be loved. Our children need to know that they are the great treasures in our life. And they should never be made to feel as though you wish they weren't here. You wish they wouldn't have ever been born. They're such a trouble, they're such a problem. Every child is a blessing. I remember when our twins were on the way. People used to come and kind of jab us in the rib and say, double trouble. And you realize, that offended the stew out of me. Because they're not double trouble. They're double blessings. If you ever sit down as a young couple and think, well, let's see, when can we afford children? You will never have children. Because you'll sit down and you go, wow, this much? It's going to cost that much? The doctor bills are that much? Food? College? You're kidding. And so you'll say, well, we just can't afford children, so we're not going to have children. Children are your treasures, not your money. Not your stuff, not your things. Your family. That is the great treasures in your life. Over in Titus chapter 2. And speaking to the young women here, it says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Your children don't need your stuff. One of the big mistakes sometimes we make about love is we think, look at all the stuff I'm giving them. Look at all the gifts I'm giving them. I can't help but remember a Christmas one time that we had in our family. And boy, it was one of those where you could hide behind the gifts and nobody could see you. Especially the gifts for the children. And you know how they were. They would go through and they would open one up and rip the paper off and go, oh, okay, and throw it aside. And after all the gifts were open, and all these toys were laying out there on the ground, you know what they played with? The box. That's right. Oh, they get in the box. Oh, look at the toy over there. I want to play with the box. The mistake sometimes parents make is they think giving your children stuff is showing you love them. I'm going to buy all these things for your room, buy all these televisions, buy all these cars, buy all this stuff, and not let you know that I love you. No, no, no. They don't need your stuff. They need you. They need you interacting with them. They need you holding them. They need you there beside them when they're hurting. And they're crying, and they're sick, and they're hungry, and they're lonely. They need to know that they are your treasure, your joy, your blessing from God. And never, ever should they be viewed or spoken to or treated as though you're a burden. My life would be better if you weren't here. No, please don't speak to them that way. Don't treat them that way. Come to understand again from 1 Corinthians what love is. We've talked about this every week. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 5, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. First of all, love suffers long and is kind. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't correct or rebuke your children or discipline your children. We're going to be talking about that in a moment. But you speak to your children with kindness. We're going to be seeing also later on that you don't stir up your children to wrath. What does it mean to stir up your children to wrath? That is, you're treating them with so much dishonor and disrespect, putting them down, making them feel as though they're stupid, they're trouble, they're a problem, and you wish they weren't around. They hear those things and that hurts. You don't have to abuse a child just physically. You can abuse them verbally. By telling words to them and telling them things about themselves to where they have no self-value. And they don't realize that they are loved. Those of you who are teachers, you work with students. And I'm sure, because I've heard a lot of you talk about this in my Bible classes up here at the school, how discouraged you are seeing so many students who are starving for love, who are starving for affection from an adult. Jennifer, my daughter, took a class at Texas Tech, and we're not very impressed, to say the least. And it was a class about the family. And one of these, in this class, they were trying to tell you, what is a family? Well, a family is a relationship of anybody or anything together. Even if you've got a dog, that can be a family. No, it's not. I'm sorry. You and your pet is not a family. The way the family the Lord wants it is the husband and the wife together. The mother and the father together. Working together, molding and shaping together as helpers together, the children. Loving the children together. There are young people out there that are starving for love. They are made to feel that they're burdens, that they're not wanted, that they're in the way, that people would wish that they were never brought into the world. Please, let your children know you love them. You cannot give them too much love. You don't have to worry about spoiling them by giving them love. You spoil them when you give them stuff. Just a bunch of stuff. Love does not behave rudely. As we already talked about, you speak to your children kindly. You do not treat them in ways that's going to cause them to be stirred up to wrath. And if you don't understand what wrath is, it's more than just anger. It's the idea. It's hanging on. And I remember what you said to me and what you did to me when I was young. You'd be amazed how many adults struggle today with how they were treated when they were children. Love does not seek its own. What do your children need? Understand what their needs are, and as the mother and the father, you give and you give and you give, and you're going to learn you never stop giving, do you? When are they going to stop being your son or your daughter? You keep giving because you love them. Coming to understand not what their wants are, what their needs are, and give them what they need. Now, let's talk a little bit about discipline. As I told you, Jennifer took this class on the family at Texas Tech. Basically, the teacher was of the mindset that if you discipline your children with corporal discipline, we call it spanking where I grew up, then you're going to mess them up. Well, I guess that's what happened to me. And probably most of you as well. That's what happened, isn't it? I guarantee you, those of us who are here this morning, we know that's not true. That being spanked is not going to warp your mind. You need to realize that it is a necessary part of being a parent. Let's talk about this from the scriptures. From Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, it says, "He who spares his rod hates his son." And just let that sink in, the first part of the verse. If you do not discipline your child, what you are expressing to that child is, we don't care. We don't care what you do. We don't care what happens to you. We don't care. Discipline that is properly administered is understood by those receiving it. Even though they do not appreciate or enjoy it, they understand you are showing, I care about you. It says, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The last part of the verse. Discipline is an expression of love, showing you care. You're going the wrong direction. And if you keep going this direction, you're in trouble. Proverbs 22, the very first part of the verse, is foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Y'all know how much the modern day comedy irritates me on television. Because in these comedies, the children are all knowing and all wise. And the parents are bumbling idiots. And the children have to explain to mom and dad what's going on in the world. That's make-believe. It's Hollywood. It's a show. It's not the truth. Children are not born with wisdom. To the contrary, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. They need direction. Sometimes they're going to be going the wrong way. Did your children ever walk with their hands stretched out to go to the electric plug? And you go, oh yeah, touch it, son. Here, let me help you there. No, you slap the hand as quick as you can. Go, no, don't touch it. Or how many of your children ever walking toward the stove with their hand outstretched and you knew, okay, you're fixing to get burned? How many of you said, let's watch this? No. You jump in there as quick as you can and you slap the hand. You go, no. Because you saw what was coming. You understood. You touched that, you get burned. You go that way, you get shot. It's going to be pain for you. And so I'm going to cause a little bit of pain to keep you from being hurt seriously. Our children sometimes go in the wrong directions and are behaving the wrong way and acting the wrong way, to where if they are allowed to continue to grow up that way, they're going to have terrible lives. I remember one time at Walmart, we were at the checkout, and they put the candy there for a reason at the checkout. And there was a woman there with her child, and the child was saying, I want candy. And I guess it was the grandmother. The mother said no. And the kid started screaming she wanted candy. And then she fell on the ground and acted like she was having an epileptic fit. And, I want candy! She was possessed. And I was thinking, yeah, you want candy? I got something for you. But you know what the woman did? She reached down and grabbed the candy and gave it to the kid. And I thought, oh. Now, do you know if that child is still alive and she's a grown woman and she's married, she knows what she's doing to her husband? I want candy! That is what she learned right there. If I scream loud enough and they make myself a fool and give this person so much grief, they'll give in to me. All I got to do is punch their buttons enough and they'll finally give in and let me have what I want. There are a lot of grown-up brats who were never trained, who still have the foolishness that was in their mind as a child, and they are adults because it was not driven from them. The last part of the verse says the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Discipline is necessary to get children to know the right direction to go in life, the right behavior in life, because if they continue going in this way, that they're going the wrong way, it will hurt them. It will cause them pain, serious pain in their relationships, in their family, and possibly in their relationship with God. Look at this in the next verse. Do not withhold correction from a child. Why? The last part of the verse says, as you continue reading, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. What an interesting concept. Disciplining your children delivers their soul from hell. How is that? You see, by giving discipline to your children, they come to learn to respect, now get this, authority. The authority of the mother and the father. To where if you say, no, do not do this, or this is what's going to happen to you, if they do that and you don't give them the discipline, you just made a mistake. Because they've just learned, I can do the crime and not do the time. I can do this action, there will be no consequences of it. And they do not learn a respect for authority. You know why you have a lot of criminals? Because they didn't learn respect for authority. And they think, I can commit the crime and not do the time. And then there are people who do not respect the authority of God. Because they did not learn respect for authority from their mother and father, because they were not disciplined. They were allowed to continue going in the wrong direction, and they grew up and they're still going in that direction. And sooner or later, someone stands up and says, you can't go this way. And they may continue messing up their life all the way to the very end, but I guarantee you in Judgment Day, God's going to say, you shouldn't have gone that way. Now this is the end of it. You can deliver someone's soul from hell by teaching them a proper respect for authority as children. I told you earlier, my daughter was taking this class. And I remember when we still had television, seeing something on television, trying to talk about this new form of discipline. And so if your child does something wrong, you know what you do. You put them in the happy chair. Ooh, scary. A happy chair. We had the pink paddle. And it was a toy, you know, with one of those balls on it. It went pop, 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 pop. But the ball came off. And I had this great, it was a great big old pink plastic thing. And I went, oh, that fits my hand perfectly. And it fits their bottom perfectly. And the children knew about the pink paddle. As a matter of fact, when they grew old enough to where the pink paddle didn't do anything anymore, we actually had a formal putting away of the pink paddle. Brought all the children and said, okay, here it goes. But this doesn't mean that discipline ended. That's right. It didn't mean that discipline ended just because we got rid of the paddle, because then you can start saying, okay, you do this, you can't do any of these privileges. We're going to start taking things away from you that you enjoy. And we're going to get your attention somehow, some way, for you to realize that if you keep going this way, there are going to be consequences. Discipline is always meant to show and express love for someone, to get them to realize you're going the wrong way, and we're trying to help you realize that if you keep going this way, there's going to be pain, because there will be consequences in your future life that are going to hurt you. Love is shown through discipline. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. One of the most sad things I see happening in the American culture today is children left to themselves. Sometimes they're called latchkey kids. There is no attention given to them. I was listening to the sermon here preached a few weeks ago, and the question was asked, how many minutes a week do fathers spend interacting, most American fathers spend interacting with their children? Less than 30 minutes. Interaction. 5 or 6 or 7 minutes a day. That's a child left to himself. There are children whose parents bring them in as children, set them in front of the TV, learn as long as they're watching TV, they're quiet, and they just leave them there. And you know what happens when you turn off the television? I want candy! They just go bonkers. That's right. They don't know human interaction because of all their interaction is with a screen that's entertaining them. And whenever you turn off the screen, they don't know how to behave. They don't know how to communicate. And a lot of times they grow up and guess what? They just spend time with their television in the room watching TV and playing on the games. And we come and we go, why can't you interact with human beings well? Why can't you know how to talk to us as parents? Why are you so disrespectful to us? Why are you doing so poorly? Because all they know is screens. They've been left to themselves. They don't need your stuff. They don't need your television. They don't need your computer. They need you. Interacting with them. Loving them. Playing with them. Disciplining them. Teaching them, molding them, shaping them. You are not molding your children when Hollywood is primarily shaping their mind. You be the parent who teaches them right and wrong. You be the parent who teaches them morals and the truth about life. The worst thing you can do for your child is let Hollywood raise them and just stick them in front of screens. You are leaving that child to himself. Interact with them. Teach them. Talk to them. Find out where they are. Do things together. And this leads to the last point. I know you're all familiar with Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The primary shaping and molding of children that we are blessed with is done when they are very young. When they're small children. This is why you've got to give them a lot of love, a lot of teaching, and a lot of discipline when they're young. You bend the tree while it's young because when it's old, it becomes more difficult to shape and bend. Teach them while they're young. Now, this does not mean that they will never do anything wrong. If you think that when your children do things wrong, this means you were a bad parent, you're mistaken. What did the prodigal son's father do that was wrong? Nothing. He loved them and he taught them the truth. You love your children, you teach them the truth. This does not mean that they will never do anything wrong. But it means they have been grounded and they know the truth. To where if they leave the truth, they know what the truth is and they have something to come back to. To where they know what a Christian family is because they've experienced it and they've seen it. To where if they leave it, they have something to come back to. You love them and you teach them. And when they are old, that is going to be the primary shaping and influence of what they will be like in their future adult life. That being the case, 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What it is all about is going to heaven. Wouldn't you agree with that? I want to go to heaven, I want my wife to go to heaven, and I want my children to go to heaven. That is what it's all about. And when your children are grown up and you're out visiting Lubbock and someone comes up to you and they say, your daughter's very faithful. You go, yeah. When you hear people say, you've got good children, they're faithful Christians, you just feel yourself blowing up going, yeah. Because that's what it's all about. Finish college? Good. Get a job? Please. Go to heaven.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. I want my children in heaven. I don't know if the Lord's going to allow us to know each other when we're there. I personally believe we probably will. I want to be there and say, hey, good to see you made it. Yeah. But hearing right now that my children walk in truth, that's the greatest joy there is. For that to be accomplished, we've got to teach them. We've got to interact with our children. We've got to talk with them about God and His Word. We cannot leave it to other people to do it for us. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and your fathers do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Then again in Isaiah chapter 38 verse 19, the father shall make known your truth to the children. The father is the spiritual head and leader of the family. Has been given the responsibility by God to be the one who takes His Word and teaches it to His children. I want to implore fathers, future fathers, realize this awesome responsibility. Yes, we are to provide for our family physically, but you need to realize the primary thing your children need is the molding of their values and their hearts and their morals by you teaching them. Turn off television. That doesn't mean you can't ever watch it. But turn it off. Don't sit there and watch it all evening. You're not teaching your children when you're sitting there for 6 hours with television on. Get them away from the screens and talk with them. And you may be thinking, they don't want to do this. That's not true. I know y'all know right now that we don't have television at our house. There's a reason for it. I was that man that sat in front of the TV as long as it was on. And it was on until I went to sleep. And my wife loved me enough to tell me that I had a serious problem. I loved her enough to hear her. When we got rid of the TV, for the first week, I may have told you this before, Jennifer mourned. Like somebody had died. That's no joke. I mean, she was in mourning. Television's dead. But at the end of the week, she came to me and she said something that I will never in my life forget. She came to me at the end of that week and she said, Daddy, I don't want the television back. I didn't know you were going to spend time with me. It was the best thing I ever did in my life as a father. Because our family would not be who we are and what we are if I hadn't got rid of my weakness. Teach them at the table. Teach them in your home. Deuteronomy says in chapter 6 and verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Seizing the moments. Seize those moments at the dinner table. Seize the moments before you go to work. Seize the moments before you go to bed. Seize those times while they are still able to be taught and willing to listen. To talk to them about God's great love for Him, His Word. Teach them about family. Teach them about how to be a father, a mother, a husband, a wife. Teach them about Christianity. Teach them wisdom that you've learned from your own experiences in your life. Talk with them. You may think they don't want this, but the truth of the matter is, they're starving for it. Give it to them. Give them yourself. Your wisdom. Your knowledge. Your experience. Your faith. Joel says in chapter 1 and verse 3, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. I don't know if I'll ever live to see my grandkids. I didn't get married till I was 31.
I hope to see all of them. But you know what I hope to see more than that? I hope to see my grandchildren obey the gospel. Seeing them born physically of Ignatius. Seeing them born spiritually. And what I want for my children more than anything is to see them in heaven. And I want my children to teach their children. And I want my grandchildren to teach their children. And I just want to just keep on going on. And on. And on. Until the Lord comes again. And when the Lord Jesus does come again, I hope some of my descendants are alive on this planet and that they have their own personal faith by which they are walking and living because they were taught by their parents. Pass the torch to the next generation. Do not keep your knowledge and your faith and your wisdom to yourself. Now, you may be an individual who is trying to raise your children by yourself. I have a scripture for you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Here, Paul, speaking about Timothy's grandmother and mother, says, "When I called to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also." There is no mentioning of Timothy's father or grandfather. My father did not talk about his father very much. Anytime he did talk about my grandfather, it was always with pain. Always. I only heard him talk about him three times in my entire life. One time that he spoke about him, he said, "I remember when I was a young boy seeing my mother chase my father away from the house with a shotgun." That's a Mississippi divorce, if you don't know. She never divorced him formally, but she never remarried. My father was very young when it happened, but he remembered it. As a consequence, he grew up without a father. You need to realize that has strong ramifications. My father could not teach me how to fix the car, because he didn't know. My father could not teach me how to use tools. He didn't know. I once told the story of him trying to build a sandbox. He got so angry trying to nail four pieces of wood together, it almost gave him a heart attack. And finally, he just dumped the sand on the ground and said, "Play in it, boy." He couldn't teach me how to use tools because he didn't know. He couldn't teach me how to hunt because he didn't know. He couldn't teach me a lot of things that a lot of you know how to do as men because your father taught you. Because he didn't know how to do it. As a consequence, I don't hunt. I had to learn how to use tools and I'm still dangerous. But you know what he taught me? He taught me what his mother taught him. And that was the scriptures. He wasn't good with a hammer, but he knew books. He could learn. And he could learn the Word of God, and he could teach me it. What I know is what my father taught me. And what my father learned, he learned from his mother, who raised him and his two brothers by herself through the Depression on the poorest side of town. They weren't just on the other side of the tracks. They were on the other side of the tracks down by the river. She was stubborn. She wouldn't take money from anybody. And she worked hard by herself to provide for them as best she could. My father and his two brothers are all dead now. But all three of them died in Christ. To hear the children walk in truth, there's no greater joy than that. She didn't give them a lot of stuff because she didn't have any stuff to give them. But what she gave them was love and teaching. Love your children. That's what they need. They don't need your stuff. They need you. Discipline your children because you love them when they're going in the wrong direction. And teach your children, even if it's you, the mother, or the father, by yourself with no helper helping you. You teach them, you love them, you mold them, you shape them, and your children can be Timothy's as well.
who have the faith and the torch of your faith passed on to them and to the next generation continuing after that. Making it to heaven is what it's all about. Help your children get there by loving them, disciplining them, and teaching them. If there's anybody here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'd be glad to assist you and rejoice with you as we baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of those sins.